4 weeks ago, we started in this Advent season in a theme and a set of messages that was going to be rooted in the Psalms. And if you have missed any of those, or if you're a visitor to FBCW, I encourage you to go back and watch them. They have been a blessing. And I am thankful to be a part of a church that utilizes the gifts of the entire faith family in Sunday morning gatherings. And it's truly been a blessing to sit and to listen to the Yohos and the Lizers and the Christiansons. And because of that snow day a few weeks ago, we're extending Advent season a little bit for another week to pass Christmas. So Mark and Kristen Elliott and some of their kiddos will be leading us this coming Sunday. If you've missed any of them, please go back. If you want to hang on to Christmas a little bit longer, make sure you're here on Sunday to celebrate with us. There's been a constant theme all throughout these messages in Advent this year. And that theme is remember. Wade did all the hard work for me. He sort of summarized a number of times that we have used that phrase in the last month. He pointed out that Chad and Angie used it 13 times. Joe and Lindsay used it 8 times. And he blew them all out of the water. He and Katie, they used it 43 times this last Sunday, imploring us to remember. A theme that 230 times plus in the book of Psalms alone calls us to remember who God is. Over 1,500 times in all of Scripture, remember, do not forget who God is. The Psalms are really a picture of our life. They were a picture of David's life. They're a picture of Moses' life, a picture of Tony Foreman's life, with all of these themes that we seem to see. Times of a little bit of sadness, times of deep lament, times of wandering and wondering, where is God? Who am I and where am I and do I matter? Times of joy and times of fear, times of worry and times of questioning, times of melancholy, and all of those themes tied to that call to remember. Remember who God is. 230 times in the Psalms alone, remember God. Is the world pushing in on you? Psalm 3, Psalm 25 tells us, remember God. Does God seem far from you? He's near. Psalm 139 reminds us of that. Does this season of life you are in, is it dark and is it hard and does it feel like it's never going to end? Psalm 23 reminds us that he is our good shepherd. If you don't know what the future holds, join the crowd, but also remember that God holds and shapes your future. Are you ashamed of your past? Yeah, God says there's forgiveness from whatever is in your past. Lay down that shame. This Advent season, the theme unified across the Psalms is a call to remember God. His past faithfulness leading us to have this confident hope for restoration in whatever the future may bring to us. We sang the song, From Joy to the World, the carol that never was meant to be a carol. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns, our mortal songs employ. The Lord has come, the King is here. The arrival of a king is a big deal. I don't know if you're a fan of history or if you go back and you are just a fan of movies and you watch now when a king is anointed and what takes place. A variety of things could happen. There could be the reign of a king beginning because of a victorious war and lots of bloodshed, and this army outdid this army, so that leader of that army becomes king. Maybe there was a coup where somebody was disgruntled with the current king leadership, so they come and they revolt against, and there's harm and deceit. There's usually a parade where the entire nation lines the streets to see the king's processional coming through town because it's a big deal. A coronation ceremony with all the pomp and circumstance that you can imagine because the coming of a king is a big deal. Well, church, our king's reign began in a much different manner. At Christmas, we celebrate the reign of a king that came in an unexpected way. Maybe one of the most famous of all the birth narratives at Christmas time comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus
that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him, no place for them in the inn. But in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. From this inconspicuous beginning began the reign of King Jesus. This baby would grow into a preteen who would get away somehow from both mom and dad and be found in the temple, listening to and questioning the teachers, amazing the teachers with his questions and his answers. This young man would grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This preteen would become the one who saved the family from embarrassment and ridicule by turning water into wine so that the party could continue a little bit longer. This is the man who would assemble a group of common men and women and transform them into a group of people who would transform the entire world and all of its history. This is the man who would heal the sick and give sight to the blind, who would help the lame walk, who would even raise the dead. This is the man who would live a life that we proved for generations that we could not live, a perfect one. He would live the life required to bring us back into community with our Father, who we had been rebelling against ever since our first parents believe the lies of Satan over the truth of God. This baby would transform the world by the most powerful act in all of history, by love. It was love that enabled God to send him. It was love that empowered Jesus to go to the cross for you and for me. And in like any earthly king, in giving up his perfect life, and his reign did not end. It wasn't passed to somebody else. It wasn't given to his son. No one else came to be placed on the throne. No. In his death and in his resurrection, this one born in the manger sealed his reign for all eternity. He still reigns. And that, church, is worth remembering. And he is someone worth remembering because he is the only hope we have in this world and the one to come. And that allows us to sing triumphantly and confidently a song taken from Psalm 98 about a king who came as a baby, because we can look back and we can see his entire story and remember. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. This unified theme of Psalm, this unified theme of all the scripture, reminds us to remember God's past works and hold tight to him. Because all throughout scripture, we heard the same message. Salvation, redemption is coming. And we can now know that salvation has come in King Jesus. It reminds us to remember God's work in the present, because the salvation that was completed through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb is available to me and to you right here today. And because of that, we can remember and we can hold tight to God's promises of what is to come. Because of his past faithfulness, we can anticipate this glorious, righteous reign of Jesus continuing forever. Salvation is forever. And if you have not placed your faith in the one we celebrate today as a baby, who became a boy, who became a preteen, who became a man, who became the Savior of the world, the King of the world, who reigns today. If you have not placed your faith in that man, I hope, I pray that this Christmas is the time of your salvation. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we are so blessed to be able to gather in a warm building in padded seats and have the freedom to proclaim you boldly. And God, I pray that we are always bold proclaimers of you. And God, this evening we pray for our brothers and sisters who are celebrating across your globe today with the same freedom of us, but those who don't have the same freedom of us as us. Those who are worshiping and celebrating in quiet, in basements and in hiding. And God, may you encourage their faith, and may their faith encourage ours. And God, we are so grateful that as we go back to the beginning pages of Scripture, right, we can read about your faithfulness. And page after page after page after page, year after year and generation after generation, we are all over the place as people, but you remain faithful. God, we are so grateful that the baby that we celebrate this evening became the King that through his love gave his life for us. God, as we unwrap in presents and as we give presents, may the kingship of Jesus not be lost in all of the commotion and all the excitement. God, allow him to be the reason for the excitement that we share. God, we love you. It's in your Son's name we pray, our King's name we pray, and amen. The theme of remembering has been on recycle, but oh, what a difference a couple thousand years make. Our Old Testament ancestors were able to look back over their history, and if they were honest with themselves, they could always see God's faithfulness, even when they ventured away. We sit here today, 2,000 years later, and we can add to our story, their story, and we can look back and even have this more solid resolve. Because in our history, we're able to look back and see that the promises of the Old Testament have been fulfilled. That Jesus came, that he was born, that he lived, that he died, that he lived again, and he now lives. And we can look back, and because of that, we can remember who God is. And we can have faith that the King is coming again. Nothing in God's history has given us any reason to doubt him. So why would we allow anything in our future to give us reason to doubt him either? Remembering who God is and who Jesus is and how much he loved us enables us to sing a song about this King with quiet words about this silent and holy night, with bold words about the darkness being ripped open by this Savior running in to save us, about a silent night interrupted by the cries of a baby King, our King.